Judges 16, 15 through 20. Thinking that you got it going on, when in fact, it's gone. One of the worst places to be is that place in which you are operating today based off yesterday's power. I love old timers, especially old men, the old pimp daddies, who still have the same line, same rap, same game that they did in the 70s. They think that they still got it going on, when in fact what they had is all gone. They still doing the cars with the pillows in the window. You remember those? Driving the deuce and a quarter. Y'all don't know what that is. This is the electric 225. That's before a lot of y'all look at Miss Barbara. She's like, I have one of those. Deuce and a quarter, huh, Miss Barbara? I got you. When you begin to operate today as if you still got it, you'll hurt yourself because you'll allow yourself to go a place thinking that you still have what you had when you went there last time. So you go a place thinking that you prepared to be there and to stay in there, only to discover that Satan wear your tail out because you're operating on yesterday's power. The Bible declares that God gives new mercy daily. So every day we have to plug into God to get recharged up. If we begin to allow our arrogance and ego to float us, we'll stop praying to God because yesterday I could take care of that. And so tomorrow Satan sends you a new devil. And when you meet this new devil, in which you refuse to pray to God, he tears you up and then you wonder, what happened? What happened to your strength? What happened to your power? Satan was crafty in what he was doing with mankind, and that is, he would always allow mankind to think that we don't need God. Like we can do it all by ourselves. And if you're not careful, you'll begin to weigh what you have against the power of Satan. Satan is not concerned with what you have. What he is concerned with is the anointing that is upon your life. Sometimes we can lose our anointing because we surrender our anointing. In other words, sometimes when people call you and you think it's a good phone call, sometimes that is the beginning of a fall in your life. We call some of those calls booty calls. Just in case you don't know what I'm talking about, a booty call is you know, that generally that midnight call. And it's a call for a particular purpose. The purpose is to take you somewhere in which you'll like something that God doesn't like. You have to be careful that what you are involved with or in, God is having as much fun as you're having. The question is not, how do I like it? The question is, God, how do you like it? Because if God is not having fun and God is not pleased, then God then has to step in and he has to judge the situation. The problem with booty calls is that booty calls will, one, they'll always blind you. They'll allow what's before you and never your tomorrow. We begin to act as though there's no consequences to our actions. For every action, there's a reaction or a consequence to it. So what you do, God is saying, I got to judge that. A booty call will always blind you. Number two, it will always leave you open. Because in the pursuit of your happiness, your temporary fulfillment, you have to undress yourself. And I don't know if you've ever been in a relationship in which you have to undress yourself, either with clothes or with words. But when you undress yourself, you allow somebody to see all through you, all up in your business. And they know everything about you. And what that does is expose you to your enemies. A booty call will always leave you open. Then the third point is that it will always obstruct your view. In other words, you're not looking at what you're supposed to be looking at. What you're looking at is what you're about to get. The truth of the matter is, what you are about to get doesn't show up until after you got it. Until after you got it, then what you're supposed to get shows up. And it shows up in the form of God's judgment. The next point is this, with a booty call, is that a booty call will always threaten the promise that God has made to you. Because it threatens the promise, what we're saying to God is, you're moving too slow, and or you don't know where I am, you can't get to me. And so we'll go ahead of God and we'll make something happen. The next point with the booty call is that it then will yoke you to the person in which you are tied up in. So B is for blind, O is for open, O is for obstruct, T is for threat, Y is to yoke. And so what turned out to be a simple phone call, you end up being yoked up with a person that you lay down with. The Bible declares that when you lay down with a harlot, that's you. So in other words, non-verbally, you just married her. Amen. Where two lay down, only one get up. Amen. I wonder if it's still worth it today. I wonder how many things in life that we find ourselves in because it was the booty call that led to the fall. I know I talk about some strange stuff in this church, but listen, this is where I'm coming from. If we can't talk about it here,
that's right.
Where can we talk about it? And if we act so dumb or so holy, like you don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, okay, right. Right. As soon as we leave at 8 o'clock, somebody is going to answer a call tonight. I'm just hoping that I'm helping someone in advance. I hope that maybe something that I say will lead you in the other direction. Yes. Simpson was a handsome guy, mm-hmm. strong guy. Yes. He had some issues, and part of his issues was insecurity. Listen to me. You cannot look at a person and tell whether or not they have a secure heart.
Amen.
Sometimes the people that look together, it's the least together on the inside. Sometimes a person who looks like they got everything together, if God will only allow you to look on the inside, everything is all sliced up and everything is all messed up on the inside. And so here's Samson, who God has blessed and God has strengthened him. And he goes through one relationship after another relationship. And now he meets Delilah. And he's on his third relationship with Delilah. Now, the name Delilah, don't laugh, but it means devotee. As though she's going to be devoted to who she's with. Just in case you haven't got the story by now, Delilah is a prostitute. So here comes this prostitute, and this strong, godly man falls in love with a prostitute. Now, let me stop there to say something to you without you leaving the church tonight. Just because you're in the church,
amen,
doesn't mean you don't see what the next person sees.
All right.
It doesn't mean you don't want what the next person wants.
Amen.
You need to be careful when preachers start falling and you say, good for him. Be careful. Because he's a man just like you. Or she's a woman just like you. There's no difference between you and who stand here. The only difference is that God has called you to do a particular thing in life, but that doesn't mean that just because you're called to do something, you can't fall to sin. Well, the preacher ought to be praying all the time. He won't see sin. Stop lying! Stop lying! You deal with the same issues and the same things that everybody else deal with.
Amen.
So here's Samson. Samson is a modern day preacher. He is a man who can fall, but he think he got it going on. But going has left him. It's already gone. See, the problem with a lot of preachers is that we stand here and say, I touch not God's anointed, and I'm this, and I'm that. And then when we do fall, well, you know I'm a man just like you. Now, that ain't what you said yesterday. Yesterday you told me you had it going on. You see, we have to be real. We have to humble ourselves to God because none of us have made it. We're all struggling with something. That's why I can come here and I can tell you some stuff. And sometimes you think I'm preaching about some stuff, but I'm just getting some stuff off my chest. And everything I tell you ain't a message, baby. I'm just talking about me. Now, I'm not saying I'm glowing in the fact that I'm human and I fall. No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that even you fall down, or when you fall down, God has the power and the desire to pick you up. You may get me today on this one, but you're not going to get me tomorrow on the same one. I may fall for one thing today, but I'm going to get up and I'm going to try again. And when God turns me around, take my little feet and place me on solid ground, baby, you better believe that thing hurt in the past and I'm going to press toward the mark. I'm talking about the high calling of Christ Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Samson is beyond us. Because he has his strength and he has this power. And so what he does is he goes into the city and he falls in love with a prostitute. Now, how can a man of God fall in love with a prostitute? Because the man of God should have a spirit of discernment where you can see that stuff. Listen, you don't think about certain things when you get into certain things. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so Samson finds himself in something, and when you in something, character and integrity don't come later. If character and integrity is not there from the start, baby, it ain't gonna show up in time enough. In verse number 15, Delilah says to Samson, how can you say, I love you, when your heart is not with me? Point number one tonight is this. Don't leave your heart where you lay your head.
All right.
See, you can be in something, and it's one thing to be in it, but when your heart gets in it, your heart will stop your mind from thinking. I know some people, we always talk about how strong we are. And the truth of the matter is, you're not strong. The truth of the matter is, without the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you, you'll do wrong all day long. And so what Samson showed us is that what he did was he put his heart where his heart should not have been. Now, when he put his heart there, what he ended up doing was defilement. He defiled his body. Now, your body is the temple of God. And God says the Holy Spirit dwells in your body. Now, the first thing he does is he allowed his heart to be where his head was laid. Now, look at verse number 16, please. And it came to pass. And it came to pass. When she had pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was very vexed to death, then he told all his heart. Listen to this. When he told her the truth, point number two, death stepped in. And when death steps in, death always comes before deliverance. Sometimes God has to kill you to deliver you. Okay, I'm going to talk about me again. There are some things in my life that I'm just attached to. And I know that if I stop eating sweets, I'll be all right. But I love them. There are some things that you are attached to. God has to not separate you. He has to kill you from that thing. But once he kills you and he humbles you, then he can deliver you. But God always refuses to fight with us. God is trying to deliver us, but we're kicking and fighting. And God is saying, until you die, you're not going to go where I want you to go. And so sometimes death is a beautiful thing because it makes me forget about what you think about me, because I want to do the will of my Father. When you are about the will of your Father, you don't care what somebody thinks. You don't care what you're going through. I just want to do the will of my Father. I just want to be where my Father wants me to be.
All right.
And so sometimes when death comes, he says to her in verse number 17 that no razor has ever come upon my head. Now for a Nazarite, when they're born, the promise is they'll never shave their hair. And so when he shaved his hair, he went from defilement to disobedience. In order for Satan to work on us, he has to always get us away from God. And the way to get us away from God is to get us to disobey God. When you disobey God, you're disconnected from God. And to be disconnected from God is a spiritual death, which means that God is not abiding in you because you're separated. And once you're separated, God says, you're on your own. When you're on your own, one-on-one with Satan, he will always kill you. Listen to point number three. Whatever you lose to sin, you can always recover through prayer. He told the secret, and the secret was the power was in his hair. And so the third time, well, let me back up. He was teasing with Delilah. So the first time, he told her. Hey, baby. The first time, Samson told Delilah, says, if you get some green strings. In other words, he was saying, if you get animal guts and put it on my hair, then that would take away the power. That was number one test. Number two test, That he tried with her. It was a test in which, notice what he does. He says, if you take a rope that has already been proven to be no good and tie me up with that, that would take away my strength. And so they tied him up to a rope that they knew had some deficiencies in it. He broke loose from that rope. But notice every time he's getting closer and closer and closer to the truth. And then the third time he tells her the truth. And the truth is, it has to do with the hair. And it really didn't have anything to do with the hair. It had to do with the covenant in which he was in with God. But nevertheless, he ended up laying his head somewhere that he should not have been. And when he laid his head, what Delilah did was told the men that was hiding that Samson told me the secret. Now, what they promised to do for her, it was 5 leaders in the city, and they promised to pay her. And what the payment equated to was 275 slaves. Now, think about it. You're doing your thing on A Street or Victor Drive now. You're doing your thing. And then one day somebody's going to give you some slaves. So all of a sudden you own enough thousands of dollars where you don't have to do tricks anymore. And so for her, that was temptation. Satan has a strategy with mankind. Satan is not just blindly shooting and say wherever the arrow hit, that's fine. He knows your weakness. He knows exactly where you are. And what he presented to Dr. Delilah was exactly what she wanted. You can't get me to smoke crack tonight.
I know you're right about
that. You can't do that. Because there's nothing inside of me that is reaching out for that. But I can't judge the person that smoked crack, because there's something deep down inside of me that will reach out for something else.
Amen.
Satan knows who you are.
Amen.
And because he knows who you are, he works on you. He pushes your buttons. And so as he begins to push your buttons, he'll always use you to be a vessel to get to God's anointing. See, this had nothing to do with Delilah. It had everything to do with Samson's anointing, not even him. And so what it caused him to do was it caused him to lay somewhere that he wasn't supposed to lay. When he ended up in the bedroom with Delilah, and then they end up capturing him. Once they captured him to show the world what they had did, watch this. They captured Samson, and then they presented him to the world. When they presented him to the world, it was to show that their God, Dagon, was the God of gods. What Satan is after in our lives is to show somebody that the God that you serve is weaker than another God. Now, what Dagon was, is he was the God of grain, the grain and harvest. And so they presented Samson to the world, who had lost all his power. And because he had lost all his power, they then plucked his eyes out, which was a common thing in military, and so that they'll take your eyes out, pluck your eyes out, and so that they'll just intimidate you, and they'll harass you, and they won't kill you, just torture you. And so here's big, strong Samson. All of his power has left. He's sleeping in the wrong place. Don't realize his power is gone. Isn't it something that when Satan show up on your doorstep that you don't even realize that God has left you? See, the truth of the matter is, I don't mind certain people walking out of my life as long as God doesn't leave me. As long as God is still in my life. I don't care who walks. If God, who says, I never leave you, and as long as he's there, in spite of what you're going through, God is saying, baby, I'm right there. But Samson woke up only to discover that God was gone. And so here he is. He's dealing with a situation. The next point is this. Watch this. Sometimes in life, you have to lose your sight to get a good understanding. Sometimes your eyes, your strength, your muscles will fool you. Because you begin to look into your resume, into your account, into your connection, into your circles, and what you see, God is saying, I'll cause you to lose that. Because when you lose that stuff, I'll make you then really lean and depend on me. Isn't that a wonderful thing to be going through something, to know that you can lean and depend on God? Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that God is your rock, that God is in your life and God will never leave you? Isn't it a wonderful thing to walk through life and say, if everything else is gone, I know God is still right there? And just like the story of Samson, and that is the story where he lost his sight, he lost his strength, and then he prayed to God. When he prayed to God, God allowed his hair to begin to grow back, and his strength came back, and then all of a sudden, he who was weak becomes strong again. If that's not you and I tonight, I don't know what it is. God sometimes will allow us to see our weakness so we can lean and depend on him, and where we are weak, his grace shows up. When his grace shows up, his grace shows us that we're still strong. And I think God sometimes said, David, that's exactly where I wanted you to be, where you couldn't see, where you didn't have any strength, and now you really got to lean and depend on me. Have you ever found yourself weak, blind, lost, didn't know how you were going to come through, but God said, baby, you still can trust me. I'm still bridge over troubled water. I'm still a battle line. I'm still God that will fight every war for you. See, sometimes God put us in a position and God says, trust me.
Amen.
And when we return to him, God doesn't give us a long conversation about why you left. Samson simply prayed to God. When he prayed to God, and I found it strange, because what he prayed to God was that God would give him one more hoorah so he can kill his enemies. I get confused sometimes with God. God answered Samson's prayer. Samson asked God to give him back his strength so he can kill somebody. All I've been doing was asking God to give me strength so I can love somebody. Instantly, he showed up in Samson's life, but I'm still waiting on him in my life. You ever look at your neighbor sometimes, and the life that you're trying to live, you're trying to do it right, and it seems like every morning you go to church and every night you go to church, they're washing their boats and cleaning their new cars, and you praying that your car will even start. Lord, please let somebody stop the leak in my roof. Does it ever seem like God is sleeping on you? Does it ever seem like when you came to church, came in the church, gave your life to Christ, does it ever seem like he disappeared on you? I mean, because if you reflect back to your club days, I mean, you can always find somebody that will share a six-pack with you. You can always find somebody that will share a joint with you. But now you come into the church, and when people talk about love, you can't even get somebody to loan you $5 without talking about it before you leave the church. I'm just confused sometimes as to why God allows us to go through certain things. But you know, if we can understand God, he doesn't need to be our God. If we can comprehend God, we don't need to serve him. And so God will always leave that blank in your life and say, son, reach for me. You won't get all of me on this earth, but what I've gapped it with is a little trust. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He says, now, I can trust you enough that I don't have to run to you every time you ask for something, because I know you won't leave me. I know you won't forsake me. I know you may fall, but you're going to get right back up. But that sinner man, Satan is gracing him to keep fighting. God trusts you with your troubles. God trusts you with your troubles. What you're going through right now, tonight, we need to be reminded that the only reason God is allowing you to go through it, it's because he trusts you. Oh God, no. Don't trust him that much. I don't feel like playing like that. Just come on, move. Answer my prayer. Trust somebody else next week, but I'm tired of my situation. Samson killed 1,035 people. When God gave him back his strength, he took his hands, grabbed the pillow. It was like a sporting arena. He grabbed the pillows and he pushed. And instantly, 3,000 people were killed. Watch this. God knows where you are, what you're going through, and the stuff that you did on your own is nothing in comparison to what you're going to do when you really begin to trust him.
Hallelujah.
When you really begin to call upon him.
Hallelujah.
See, Samson was counting. Okay, 1,035. That's what I did. I'm the man. And so before God will use a man or a woman, he'll always break you. And God will break you so that he'll show you that without him, you can do absolutely nothing. See, the strength comes from humility.
Amen.
The strength comes from humility. When you are weak, God says, that's when I'm strong. That's when you move out of my way. That's when you let me be God. That's when you open the door for me and I slide in, change your situation around. God simply wants to step into your life and change it around. Can he use you tonight? Can he use you tonight? And that's the message tonight. Can God use you? Even if he began to take you a place and you don't like it, don't even feel good. And everything that you was is gone. Everything that you was is gone. And now God says, now I want you to be what I want you to be.
Thank you, Lord.
What I want you to be. If God was trying to kill you, he would have did it a long time ago. He would have did it a long time. I love that song. Okay, I'm 5 minutes on. Shut up. All right, let us stand tonight.